Welcome to Generation Radio Podcasts, where the focus is on Arkapuna and their families. We are here each Sunday morning from 8 to 9 a.m. on the Oldies Channel, 101.1. You can listen to these shows at any time, any place, and even on your smartphone at generations808.com. We will bring to you resourceful information from our Generations team of experts in the field of aging. Stay with us for the next 1 hour as we explore ways to make your life more exciting and meaningful for our extraordinary seniors. Here's your host and publisher of Generations Magazine, Percy Ihara.
Welcome to Generations Radio. I am Percy Ihara, your host, every Sunday morning. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for going to our website, generations808.com, to check out all our radio shows, all our past radio shows as well. And as you know, we have all our past printed issues there. But a big thing people are going to our website today is looking at our workshop that we're starting. We'll be starting August 24th. It's in the magazine on page 7 of the issue with Dr. William Wan on the cover, which is out right now in July, August. It's really a great story about it being one of the first neurosurgeons in Hawaii, let alone being Asian as himself. But anyway, on page 7, we talk about our realities of aging. This is just a really mini aging and workplace workshop that we have only one room at the Ala Moana Hotel. You do have to make reservations. And when you call us up, let us know which one you want to attend, either morning or afternoon session. We do it on the fourth Wednesday of the month, starting August. The fourth Wednesday of every month. And so we have August, September, October, November, and December. And then we will be having our big aging in place workshop, the one that's we take the whole floor of the Ala Moana Hotel. We have 6 workshop rooms going on at one time. So we have 6 different speakers switching out every hour. So it's very popular. We'll get over 2,000 people. We'll get about 50 exhibitors, if not more. So it's a long day. Come and stay for the whole day if you want. You can come and go as you please. The big aging in place workshop on October 1st. You do not need required to RSVP. Just come and show up. Parking will be limited. Come early, stay late, but it's a very intense, very crowded workshops. It's the best event of the year where you'll be able to meet these speakers, talk to them after their presentation, visit our exhibitors. But it's just a really great event. I'm really proud of what we've done with all our presenters and sponsors. So thank you very much. So anyway, I've known this lady for several years, actually over 20 years. When I first met her, she may not remember me. I was at her Tung Fu workshop. I believe I was at the Bank of Hawaii at the time in the late 90s, early 2000, maybe. I've met her before because I knew her of her husband. Her husband is actually a legend in the fast pitch softball league. Come on, Gwen. You got to talk about him a little bit. Clay Fujie, who was probably a legend and one of the best fast-pitch softball pitchers in the state, and say hello to Clay Fujie. But anyway, his wife, the better half, the better-looking half, the smarter one, is
you.
Gwen Fujie. Welcome to the show, Gwen.
Thank you very much. Happy to be here.
Yeah, it's good to see you at the Okinawan Senior Fair. It was the last month or two. And I've heard about your talk, but we talked briefly before the Okinawan Fair about you did a class on for seniors and caregivers in Tung Fu, and it makes a lot of sense. It triggered in my mind. You know, I counsel families almost every day. I'm in the reverse mortgage industry. That's my full-time job. But I get a lot of information sent to me, and I meet plenty professionals in the aging field because of Generations Magazine, of course. But I talk to clients almost every day, dealing with families almost every day. And I've got to learn this too. My own personal family, I need to learn it as well. But it's very interesting. So can you give our audience and listeners your background on how you're going to be able to communicate this way?
Yeah, well, actually, I got very interested in it when I was director of volunteer services at Queens Medical Center. And then I became a patient relations director at another healthcare institute. And I found that so many people have difficulty with expressing exactly how they feel. And sometimes it's just misinterpreted. Family members, as well as the one person that they're caregiving for. So it kind of goes both ways, you know, on how you talk to one another. And because I think, this is my opinion, that many of our, let's say, Isay people, second generation, grew up on plantations. Their English was limited. And so they have a hard time once in a while to express how they really feel. So when they don't express and they're very quiet, those who are caregiving for them get frustrated. And so I noticed in the hospital some of the complaints that we would have had to do with that. It had to do with how people viewed you, how they interacted with you, how they had, let's say, no eye contact, or the tone of voice was rather harsh. And both ways, not just the employees and the caregivers, but also the patients and the people who were being served. So I think, you know, once I learned about Tung Fu, it is a course that was started by Sam Horn. She's a writer and author. She's still doing a lot of Tung Fu seminars all across the country. And I became one of her trainees. So I learned how to do it, and then I made it more island style. That would be more acceptable, I guess you would say, to how we speak in Hawaii. And then I found it to be very, very popular. So in 20 years, I've been traveling all over the country and in Japan, actually, doing, let's say, Tung Fu for caregivers, Tung Fu for employees, Tung Fu for healthcare workers, and on and on and on. But you know, I'm 76 now. No, I'm 75, Percy. What am I saying? My husband's 76, and I'm 75. So 75 years old, I have learned a lot about how to treat one another and how to remain calm and cool yourself as the caregiver and the receiver. So anyway, I think the most important thing as you face caregiving is to be mentally prepared. You know, we most of us really love our kupuna and our children. However, sometimes we don't agree, right? And so we become short and impatient, and it shows and it sounds like it. So we need to prepare for this time when we do interact at an older age.
Absolutely.
So that's kind of the gist of it. Yeah.
That's it's well said, Gwen. Let me ask you this. Were you a caregiver as well?
Oh, indeed. Yeah. For my father first, for a little while, he wanted to come home from the nursing home, and so he stayed here. And then my mother, for several months, was here at my home before she passed in 2015. And then now my husband, the star baseball player, he is caregiving, taking turns with his siblings, taking care of his 100-year-old mother.
Wow.
And it is a challenge. As much as they all love each other, I can see where there are little gaps here and there. And I tell you, it is a mindset when you get prepared to spend the whole day or the whole evening and overnight caregiving. So there's a lot of experience there.
It takes a lot of experience. I try to bring in professionals in the field to counsel families. I'm not a trained counselor myself, but because I do this just about every day, I work with a lot of families, and there's no right or wrong answer. It's just how we can deal with this. I really believe in educating yourself about, let's say, Alzheimer's, dementia, Parkinson's, whether you have a stroke or not, physical ailments. Uh-huh. We all need to learn how that patient or loved one is dealing with that. And I really believe there's a difference between men and women. Like the old book, Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus, we all receive it differently. We all need to talk to them differently. I met Frances Kakugawa many, many years ago. I believe she wrote a book, and it was a poem book.
Yes.
And you quoted her saying, patience and compassion are born out of our use of language. And that is so true. I mean, I'm a guy. I myself sometimes misspeak and may sound a little harsher than normal, but I try to deal in facts. But like you said in your presentation here that we're going to cover there's a lot to say he said for how you speak about things, how you present it to your loved one or a client or a patient.
Right.
Yeah.
But yes, exactly. And you know, it is both ways too. So it's not just us sanseis or yonseis that have to be better at speaking compassionately and you know, being viewed as caring. It's also the kupuna side. The kupuna, I think, also needs to show more gratitude. And this is kind of a thing that they grew up with, maybe. They're
yes.
just a little harsher, harder.
Yes. Yes.
They're not the type to say, oh, dear, thank you so much. Oh, sweetheart, that was so nice of you. Our parents never spoke that way, right?
Yes.
So there are many sansei yonseis that go through caregiving never hearing a thank you.
Yeah, and they get really
resentful. Please.
Yes.
Right.
They get resentful, they get angry. But so question, how does one deal with that?
So, again, I would say it's the mindset you have going into the situation. Knowing that you're going to be taking care of, let's say, your 100-year-old mom, you have to decide for yourself, you know, how are you going to view this? I say to have a mantra. And my mantra was, and I forget who I learned this from, was that I see you, I hear you, you matter to me. So what I then say, I see you, Mom. Every time I get up in the morning, I see you, Mom. I hear you, Mom. You matter to me, Mom. I'm saying this to myself, right?
Mm-hmm.
Quietly.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You don't have to verbalize it. But that's my everyday mantra. So I would say, hey, you know, to the mom, say, I see you, daughter or son. I hear you, daughter or son. And you matter to me, kids. You know? So, first of all, it's that mindset is what I believe. So, show
yeah.
you understand the stress that your children are going through. Show, you know, sometimes people, depending on their upbringing, might feel entitled. They might feel like, well, my son, I gave him everything. He better be nice to me.
Yeah.
He better take care of me. Percy, listen to me.
Oh, no. It goes a lot of different ways.
Yeah.
And it's very difficult how to separate yourself from your dad or mom's old school ways.
Mm-hmm.
I hear this quite often. You know, I just wish they would say thank you. Or say please,
uh-huh.
you know. And
I that is what I hear lot of.
Yeah, yeah. And it's difficult.
Yeah.
We had a good friend of mine, David, who owned a home care company, and he called me
mm-hmm.
one day. He goes, you know, I need some help. I said, why? My mom doesn't listen to me. I said, David, you're a professional caregiver, you know. But, you know, I've been doing this 20 years, the reverse mortgage, and dealing with clients and talking to families for so long that I think sometimes mm-hmm. you just gotta let their anger. Sometimes your mom or dad may be angered or frustrated or just grumpy, a boot, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes you
yeah.
just gotta let it fly off. They would say, you know, I'm like a duck. Just let it swish over my head and go down my tail and off. And then like fly off the back of my back. You know, just don't worry about it. Let it go out one window or don't even open the window. Just let it go right over your head and just move on.
Yeah.
How to handle an objection, how to change the subject, defer everything. Or just forget about it.
Mm-hmm.
Just change the subject, you know. And
it's
very difficult
exactly.
sometimes practice and technique to do, but it's really important.
Uh-huh.
I have a client every day. He goes, well, my mom says she wants to die. I have another client. My mom says my mom wants to go home during a nursing facility.
Uh-huh.
I just want to go home every single day. And I said,
yeah.
well, you know, you got to think about it. If you're in their shoes, you might be the same way. Us baby boomers
yeah.
are taking care of our parents from the greatest generation. You think we complain, but let me tell you, when we get to that age, I think
mm-hmm.
we're going to complain more. I really think the baby boomers will complain more. You know,
I have a feeling also.
I do.
Because, you know, the old folks, a lot of times, you know, the Japanese word for is gamang. They just gamang. You know, it's stick-to-itiveness. It's like just upper lip and, okay, I'll just keep going, and they don't say much. So I wanted to share with you that communication has, you know, there's certain percentages in what is really good communication. So if you would imagine, 55% of communication is visual. So it's how do you appear? How do you look? Are you looking grumpy and habut every day that you make breakfast for them? You know, or do you have a smile on your face? Because if you think about, you can judge people by just looking at them on the street or at work, and oh my goodness, you can tell right off what they're thinking or feeling. And so the other percentage is that it's 38% the vocal, the tone of voice that you have. So even if you might say some nice words, it's your tone of voice. So I tell people, you know, there are times I would sit in a doctor's office and the doctor is very nice, but then, you know, you see patients come in and the person at the reception desk, I used to train a lot of them. For 7 years, I worked with Hawaii Pacific Health. And the vocal, the tone of voice would be so cold. Like, hi, how are you? Do you have an appointment? No smile, no engaging tone of voice. Compared to someone's, oh, hi, Mr. Suzuki, how are you today? You know, you have, what time's your appointment? So much nicer, yeah? And the person just becomes more comfortable. So in the end, it's only 7% of the words that you choose to use. So even if I teach people certain words to use, it's really only 7% of total communication. So it's a lot of visual, a lot of tone. Well, yeah.
You're absolutely right about receptionists, and nothing about Hawaii Pacific Health, because I go there, my doctor's over there. It's really about any industry. But I think a lot of it got to do with, you know, any industry that, you know, I hate to say, put this on the younger kids, but they're trained differently than how maybe you and I were trained or how we were brought up in our work ethic. We were brought up in a more stringent environment of training, where the kids today are more lenient. But I think with regard to, you know, us baby boomers, when we get older, I tell my clients and my friends, you got to train your kids to understand what you go through. So when you need help and you need their care, they will treat you also with respect that you're showing how you're treating your parents. Because they learn.
Do you remember when your parents would say, somebody gives you something and they'll say, Percy, what do you say? Right? I remember doing that with my daughter. What do you say? And then they come out with, oh, thank you, Auntie. Yeah. You know, it was a lot of that. What do you say? And you just—it's ingrained in you. So now, if somebody gives you something, as old as we are, we come right out with
automatic.
Oh, thank you.
Automatic. You know, it's
whereas
like,
nowadays, I don't see much of that.
No.
You know.
Yeah.
Or it's very quiet. Or it's just
Yeah, I try to train my son that way. And I said, I'm not going to tell you every time. You got to just ingrain it and get used to it, because I don't like it when I have to always have to remind you, you know.
Yeah.
I like your PowerPoint where you talk about your self-talk and the thoughts.
About being
positive, negative, empathetic, apathetic, and pathetic. Can you explain those five right there?
Yeah, so we say Kung Fu is about finessing, not fighting. If you think, you know, Kung Fu is about hitting back, getting back, getting mad, or getting even, Kung Fu is not at all about that. It's more about finessing. So in Kung Fu, we teach people words to choose and use, you know. And I often ask in my seminars in the past, do you have a mouth with a mind of its own, like you open mouth, insert foot? And a lot of people would nod their head. Yeah, I guess so, you know. So it's really not a controlled thing, whereas when you do caregiving, it does have to be a bit controlled. You do have to stop and think for yourself, you know, observe what's really happening, and then you proceed. But we don't think enough about what we're saying and how we're appearing to other people. So I just tell people, think before you speak. Just take a moment. Think before you speak, you know? And, have some rituals. And those rituals, I think, help a lot. So I tell people, give them L. You know, you don't give them hell. You give them L. And that L stands for you look at them, you listen to them. You lift your eyebrows, which shows some engagement. You lean forward a little bit. You get on their level. This is what a lot of people don't do. And it's like, huh? What? What you saying? You know, just get on their level. And at the end, I say, just love them. And all this sounds easy, but you know it takes practice. Yeah, Percy, it takes thought.
I'm a guy. You know, guys have a harder time with that. I deal with families every day, and I had to bite my tongue many times. Sometimes I forget to bite my tongue, but it is very difficult. It's stressful time dealing with serious issues. And that's why I try to educate families that they have to understand navigating aging, navigating caregiving, navigating you know, financial accounts, legal things. I'm dealing with a lot of families today where mom or dad has passed away. Now what do we do? You know? It's a very difficult time.
That's got to be.
You know?
That's a difficult topic. And a lot of times nobody wants to let go of the house or let go of any control.
That's why I try to tell my clients, you know, before they pass on, talk to your kids, put it in writing if you can, about how to deal with the assets, how to deal with your care. End of life is a big topic now. How do we want to go about that? Yeah. Because, you know, we are involved with in medical aid in dying and that law. I knew John McDermott, who was a lead face of that bill. The lobbyist, the old lobbyist. And it's really important to have these conversations ahead of time because that way it avoids infighting. But I like in your presentation, you talk about two things to remember in life. Take care of your thoughts when you're alone and take care of your words when you're with people. That's really great. Well said.
Makes sense, when you think about the words that you're choosing to use, you know, is it helping or is it hurting? And a lot of times it's hurting, but we don't think about that. So are we, you know, are we really bringing people together? Are we making our relationships better? Are we just kind of pulling it apart, building barriers instead of bridges because we don't take the time to think about it, Joe? I tell people that, you know, they're so used to doing things a certain way. They're set in their ways. So there's this one phrase I love a lot, which says, if you always do what you always did, you'll always get what you always got. And one of the greatest obstacles to learning is thinking you already know it. And that's the hard-headed people. They think they already know it. Right?
They
think
they do know it. It's not they think, they do know it. That's why they don't change. But, you know, it's very common. You know, academics are very much like that. They're dealing with facts. But the issue is a lot of times is how do we compromise? How we know you may be right, but, you know, the emotions take in and how we talk to people. It's just emotional time. But when it's just so commonplace with what we're dealing with today as baby boomers, dealing with our parents as they age and caregiving. But anyway, we're gonna take a short break. Hang on there. We'll take a short break for our sponsors, and we'll be right back.
In 2021, take the confusion out of Medicare. The Copeland Insurance Group will help you understand the exciting new plans with increased benefits for seniors 65 and above, veterans, the disabled, and those that qualify for extra help. Contact Margaret Wong with the Copeland Insurance Group at 808-591-4877. 808-591-4877. Mahalo.
You've worked hard to make it to this point, faithfully paying your mortgage and putting money into your home. Now you can tap into this equity with the reverse mortgage loan designed specifically for those age 60 and older. Percy Ihara, Hawaii's reverse mortgage specialist, NMLS number 582-944. Let him show you how you can use a reverse mortgage to gain a new source of funds, just as you would with a traditional home equity loan that you would get at a local bank, but with additional benefits. Give him a call at 808-234-3117, and he'll show you how a reverse mortgage could be an important tool for you. He lives and works right here in Hawaii and understands Hawaii borrowers.
Not applicable in all states. Some states may impose a higher age requirement. Visit reversefunding.com/equity-elite for details. Reverse Mortgage Funding LLC is an equal housing lender. 1455 Broad Street, Bloomfield, New Jersey, 07003. NMLS number 1019941. Telephone 888-494-0882. For licensing information, go to nmlsconsumeraccess.org. Licensed mortgage banker, New York State Department of Financial Services. Again, call 808-234-3117.
Welcome back to Generations Radio. I'm Percy Ihari, your host. As you guys know, every Sunday morning, if you're on the way to the golf course Sunday morning, he'd keep it in the short stuff, as they say, or keep it in the short grass. And thank you for tuning in. Thank you for telling about your friends and neighbors and people from church and your coworkers, because what we do at Generations Magazine affects everybody. And a lot of we're talking about baby boomers today. A lot of our listeners are baby boomers, dealing with the parents, the loved ones, maybe a sibling. So it's really important to take it to heart and educate yourself about aging and how to deal with caregiving and Alzheimer's and dealing with family issues, legal issues, financial issues, Medicare, Social Security, Medicaid. So we cover all of that. And as I mentioned earlier in the show, October 24th, we're going to be starting our mini aging in place workshop. We call it the realities of aging. It's going to be the fourth Wednesday of every month at the Alamon Hotel. We do 8:30 to 12:30 or 1:30 to 4:30. It's two different sessions. And if you come in the morning or come in the afternoon, either one, you do have to make reservations. So we have a little bit of a head count. And when you call us up and leave your name, leave a message about any certain specific topics you want to hear about. We will be covering legal, financial, reverse mortgages, Social Security, Medicare, decluttering, different care home facilities, home care, how to select a home care provider, maybe some learning tips about fall prevention, elder abuse, all of that amount. So I'll be the host of that workshops. And then on October 1st is our big, big aging in place workshop. This will be our 14th year doing it. The last one in 2020, we had to cancel because of COVID. So we haven't done it in 2 years. But I know a lot of you have been calling us, asking about the event. You do not have to register. Just come and go as you please on October 1st at the Alamon Hotel. We will be full by probably 8 o'clock, 8:15. We don't start at 8:30, but people are there as early as 7, 7:30 getting in line for the rooms. We have six different workshops going on at one time, and every hour we switch out. So after every presentation, everybody scrambles to the next room, and we'll have a list of workshops and speakers in our September-October issue. So we'll be coming out early September. A list of all our sponsors, and we have over 50 exhibitors. It is the best event of the year, and people are, you know, you're going to come to listen to speakers and professionals and experts in the field of aging and field of their specialty. And this, I love this event. You know, we started this with Kirk Matthews many, many years ago in KHON, and we just continued it on. And it's been a pride and joy of myself, but also for all our sponsors and speakers that present. It's a great event, so mark it in your calendar. If you have any questions, just give us a call or email us through the magazine. So the fourth Wednesday of every month, starting August, in a big October 1st Aging in Place workshop. It's in our, right now, it'll be the mini aging workshops are in our June-July issue with Dr. Juan on the cover. And in our, like I said, September-October issue, we'll have a whole spread of the whole workshop and all the different topics of presenters speaking. So we want to thank all of them. So today we have Gwen Fujie, a communications specialist. He calls it Tung Fu for the elders. And Gwen, your last quote from John Maxwell is, I've got to remember that. And I always try to work with families. It's really hard sometimes to adjust to their parents or how to handle objections, how to change their mentality. But you put it, if you always do what you always did, you always get what you always got. Once one of the greatest obstacles to learning is thinking you already know it. And so I tell people, unless you get trained and educated, a lot of people, you know, use their own decision-making process how to handle a situation with their loved one. Mm-hmm. And that really causes a lot of problems. Unless you go to a professional caregiving class or maybe a CNA class, or you have an MBA or a BA in nursing, it's really hard for families to deal with these issues.
Well, I would love to share with you now a few words to use and words to use.
Absolutely.
And I hear this all the time. I think you're going to find this very common, that people use the word should a lot. So in my class, I say, how many of you have been should upon? S-H-O-U-L-D. And, you know, like, you should have told me, you should have done it this way, you should have. Well, when you use the word should, it's really about the past. You can't change the past. So you become a critic. You create a failure situation when you tell people what you should have, what they should have done. For example, you're a caregiver. You should have told me you had to go bathroom before we got into the car. You know, that's a major one. You should have told me you were hungry. We could have stopped at Zippy's. You know, you should have told me you weren't feeling well. So what I want people to do is get rid of that word should, because it's all about the past. They can't change the past. So instead, you use next time. So in other words, you would say, next time, Mama, you know, tell me you have to go to the bathroom before we get to go in the car. But just tell me if you're hungry. You know, we just went by Zippy's. We could have stopped there. And next time, if you're not feeling good, we can stop by my house instead of come all the way over the poly. So you see how the next time, using that instead of shooting on them, shows respect and it moves us to the future.
That is so simple. And I know I hear it resonates so much in when my clients talk to me about their parents, even my own parents.
Yeah.
But you're absolutely right.
Be a coach instead of a critic, yeah?
Yeah, it's so true. And also words to lose and use. Can't because?
Yeah, the no can because. Okay, so often the elderly person, let's say, is in a hospital or in the nursing home, and they want to go home. And we'll always say, no, can't because you're not ready yet. You know, they want to eat solid food. Oh, no, you can't because your throat's not working right. Or, no, you can't because, et cetera. They want to go to the mall. They want to go shopping. No, can't because you can't walk so well. So we do a lot of no, can't because. I used to do that, too, when my mom wanted to do something. Oh, no, can't because you're not ready. Well, how about switching that over to something more agreeable? And you would say, oh, okay, as soon as. For example, when they want to go home from the hospital. Okay, as soon as the doctor says you can leave. Because a lot of times you can give them what they want as soon as something else happens, right? So you become more agreeable. They want to eat solid food. You say, sure, as soon as your swallowing is working, as soon as you can chew better. Now they want to go to the mall. Yeah, as soon as, Grandma, we can feel better and you can walk better. So the yes, as soon as, to me, is so much nicer than always saying, oh, no, you can't because you're not ready. You can't because the doctor said no.
Absolutely. Yeah. But I think also, yes, as soon as you go through rehab, gives them a goal.
Yeah.
Gives them a place to go to, something to look forward to. Yeah, I really want to go to the mall. I better work hard on my physical therapy. You know,
that's
so common. Men, they get grumpy, they get depressed, they don't want to do therapy, you know. And I tell these, you know, if you don't get better in Medicare and rehab, Medicare will tell you have to get out if you don't get better. Medicare is not going to keep you in rehab if you don't get better, you know. You have to, if you would, could you. Those words are as well very good.
Very, very good, because we're always giving them orders and commands, right? You know, you need to do this first, and then you have to da-da-da.
Yeah.
And
now you're being a parent.
If you would, could you, is so much nicer. So many people have told me, people who are friends of mine that have been caregiving, you know, their parents. And one gal just said, I love to use that. Oh, Mama, if you could, would you lift your okole a little bit? Okay, then you'll be more comfortable. Something as simple as that. And they go, oh, okay, I have to do this first. Okay. It's a lot more courteous and, you know, nice.
Well, you're asking versus telling. I think that's the key, is you're asking them versus telling them, you need to do this, you need to do that. You know, that's so true. And the tone of voice is very, very important. I see that happen quite a bit. I try to work on that with my parents, because my mom has early signs of dementia, Alzheimer's. And sometimes she doesn't quite understand. Dealing with my father, who's dealing with his caregiving duties, I said, you are a caregiver now, so you have to be the one stronger and be able to watch mom more and look at her needs, you know, because everybody has different needs, you know, as they get older. And it's just something that we have to prepare ourselves for. And it's difficult for men. They have us, they're so more set in their ways. They'll do it if you tell them and teach them to do it. But other than that, you know, a lot of men will not. It's just hard for them. You know, they, you know, a lot of their, a lot of wives did everything for them. Cook, clean, wash dishes, everything. You know,
Well, you know, this, what you're saying reminds me of in a seminar I did for caregivers. And there was this fellow that came by himself. He must have been about 40, 45 maybe, sat in the front row all by himself, very quiet. And as we went through this seminar, he just, his eyes just started welling up, you know. And he actually did tear as he was explaining, as he was realizing how rough he was speaking. You know, he was the only son. He was taking care of his parents. He was so stressed out. And when he heard about the softer words to use and choose, it just made him realize how tough he was sounding to his parents, just because his father was tough on him. And so he vowed that he's going to change his tone of voice. And I thought that was really nice. So things like this can really help people, especially when you're an only child. Or you're a male, because a lot of men are not used to speaking a certain way.
That is so true. And I have a client right now we're dealing with, and what you just said is absolutely correct. He is an only child. He's doing all, everything's on his shoulders. Financial to meeting with the doctors, prescription, making sure they take the medication every day, worried about falls. And you know, he vowed to take care of his parents the rest of their lives, not put them in a care home. I said, well, that's a great thing to do, and very honorable, but it's going to be very difficult and hard on your life. And he goes, yes, it already has ruined my life, but this is my my obligation to his parents. So I give him a lot of credit. I have about five clients that have been taking care of both parents for the last 20 years. I mean, that is a commitment, and for giving up. And so, yeah, I think I'm going to forward all your PowerPoint presentation to them and look at these things, because I'm serious, Gwen. What you're providing here is not only to learn about it, but let me tell you guys, it'll relieve your stress once you understand how to maneuver and navigate yourself to a better position in communicating with your loved one. It'll reduce stress, you know. I have several clients that I don't stress out, because I know the situation. I know how they're dealing with the dementia, and I'm trying to educate the kids on how to handle their parent that has Alzheimer's or dementia or Parkinson's or a stroke. And it's very difficult for kids that, you know, that don't have any background or never took in a workshop or never talked to the doctor about their ailments. And you have to understand, you know, what it does. Like I was telling this gentleman the other day, is that, you know, your wife has Alzheimer's, and it's taking her over, where she's not her anymore, you know. We did a cover story on Governor Ige's wife a year and a half ago, and Mrs. Ige's mother doesn't know her name anymore. There was a very famous Supreme Court justice many years ago, that the female Supreme Court justice had to resign because dealing with her husband's.
Oh, that's right. That was Susan Day O'Connor.
Yes,
she had to take care of her husband. I remember that.
And she went through counseling. And did you know that he had a girlfriend? And she couldn't do it. Because he didn't know he was married anymore. So when Justice O'Connor came to the facility, he introduced her to his legal wife. And she had a very difficult time with that. Yeah.
Wow.
Susan Day O'Connor. Yeah.
That is so interesting. I want to share with you this one story. The next slide I had was about using the word problem a lot.
Yes.
And in Hawaii, for whatever reason, we use a lot of no problem.
Yeah.
You know,
every day,
say,
every
thank
day.
You.
Every
we
day.
Go, no problem. So one day, my exchange for that when somebody says thank you is to say, how about saying something nice like my pleasure? Well, this one gal, she was a lawyer. She was in a different seminar class of mine, not a caregiving one. But she learned to get rid of saying, oh, no problem, Dad, because the father would say, oh, thank you so much. Yeah? And she, no problem, no problem. Well, one day she decided to say, my pleasure. And she had to call me up to tell me, you know what, I was taking my father out of the car when we went to the doctor. And he told her, thank you. And she said, oh, my pleasure, Dad. And she said, he stopped with one foot out the door. He looked at her and he said, oh, that's so nice. And he was so taken by the fact that she said it was her pleasure to take him to the doctor. And it was not a problem, you know.
Yeah.
So she was so taken by that particular word, and it changed so much, she said, for her. So I think that's nice to know certain words and phrases that can really get to people and help to change their attitude too, right?
Yeah, you know, it's like a friend of mine was telling me yesterday about how the car was being fixed, and the mechanic said, and he goes, oh, thanks for fixing my car. He said, no problem. I said, well, it wasn't a problem. I paid you, but, you know, you should say, yeah, you should say my pleasure or you're welcome.
Yeah. It should be good to, you know, just certain situations, how that it just sounds so much nicer. So.
Yeah, it's actually a negative, but that's okay. tell us some positive communication tips. Like you were talking about what you want instead of what you don't want.
Ah, I see what you're saying. Yeah, to tell people, we're so often saying what, you know, don't do it this way. I don't want you to drink so much water while you're eating. In fact, you say what it is that you want. I think that makes a big difference. You know, I want you to eat, you know, all of your vegetables first, then you can have some water. I want you to practice every day instead of, I don't want you sitting around all day long. And I know this sounds harsh, but people I have heard do use phrases like that. I don't want you to whatever. And, you know, instead to say what it is you want. And I also think that when you look at what you're doing in helping, you know, you ask yourself, is it a burden or a privilege? Do we often say things like, oh, I have to take my mom to the doctor. I have to take my father into rehab every Friday. I have to. And how much nicer it is on yourself, in your own thinking, to say, I get to take my mom to the doctor.
Right.
Yeah, I get to take my father to rehab. And I know it sounds kind of corny, but it helps you to reframe your thinking when you say, I get to. Because it is a privilege if you think about it. Because I'll tell you, once they're gone, Percy, it's so, you know, I miss my mother every day, my father every day. I lost a brother and a sister already. So I miss them so much. Yet I have to change my thinking and said, I had such a great privilege to have them in my life as long as I did. And changing, reframing your thinking, using different words. So,
no, that's so,
so much
true
to think about, yeah.
Yeah, you know, especially for people that maybe have not suffered a loss. I have not myself personally, but I've lost close friends of mine. And I've been across clients of mine that I really loved, and it's difficult. And so I try to live in the present. I try to cherish every day that we're alive. I kind of tell people I use the young kids acronym YOLO, you only live once, you know. but it's so true because life is so precious and your relationships.
Yeah, once they're gone.
Yep.
Yeah, they're gone.
Yep.
And you just have to believe that their spirit is around you because I'll tell you, there are a lot of regrets some unsaved, my friends, have about things that they did or didn't do. Once the parent, you know, loved one is gone.
Yeah.
And you want to lessen those kinds of feelings.
Yes.
Yeah.
I tell families, I don't want regret. You don't want regret for not saying something or regretting you being harsh on your parents or regretting not being able to do things for them. Spend the time with them, travel with them if you can, make memories with them if you can. But Gwyneth is so good. I know you said we're going to have Gwen at our October 1st Aging in Place workshop where you can meet her in person, ask questions, but she's going to do a presentation, this presentation on Tung Fu for the Elders. But okay, so one last tip. We got to finish up here. One last tip, a good one or a story that you can tell our audience about how to communicate with an elder. I know there's not one,
sometimes,
right?
many, but let me just share at least one where, you know, someone's a lot of old folks, they love to talk story, and they might go on and on and on. I know several old folks like that. It's the same story, usually, something from the past, and it's really sweet, and you've probably heard it 100 times. And so I have often been asked, you know, how do you end these kinds of long-winded conversations without being rude? And so this is one tip that I think is very helpful. By just saying their name, and usually when people hear their name, they stop speaking for a moment, yeah? So, like, for example, if my mother was going on and on, I'd say, Mom, and she would stop, and I would summarize what she just said. So what you said is you actually enjoyed working in all those restaurants, yeah? And I think that's interesting. Say a few more things. And then you start your close. So tomorrow, let's continue talking again. Or, you know, tonight, Auntie will come. You can share more with her. And you end with kind words. But I'll tell you, my mother, most of her life has been very tough and rough. She's not one of those sweet, you know,
touchy-feely ones.
And all that kind. She never did get into that. And so most of my life, I think I grew up very sensitive about criticism because I know she meant better. She wanted me to be better. But in the moment, growing up, I always thought things were wrong with me. And when I took care of her, you know, I had so much criticism. But, you know, there was one day when I realized it's like a voice that came from above. That said, Gwen, you know, is it a burden or a privilege for you to take care of your mother? And then I drove all the way home thinking, burden or privilege? And when I thought about it as a privilege, I realized that I needed to change my outlook on how I was dealing with her every single day. So Tung Fu helped me a lot because she wasn't the easiest to take care of. But towards the end of her life, she did a lot of thank you. Thank you. And that was enough for me. So I think people will realize once they make that change that everything can change for you. Your everyday life can change. So that's what I would suggest very much so.
Great. Gwen.
Yeah, so we're almost at the end, yeah?
Yeah, great information, Gwen. Nice, heartfelt stories. And so, guys, if you like what you're hearing, come and visit us. At the Aging in Place Workshop October 1st. Tell your friends they can go to our website, generations808.com, and this show will be posted on our website by the following week.
Mm-hmm.
You can listen to it again. But, Gwen, thank you so much. I appreciate your time.
Oh.
Appreciate your information. I learn every show. But this one is
really wonderful.
It really is. Yeah. Like I said, we have to be able, I don't know everything. But I'm learning every day. And that's one
I
of my
I think you can be a kung fu master, Percy.
No. I'm very more based in facts and things, and educating myself and knowledge. So I do misspeak in the tone of my voice sometimes. But I'm learning because I work with clients every day, seniors, and I love what I do.
Yeah.
And so I just try to pass on as much as I can. But obviously emotion gets involved. Handling objections is very difficult for people. So I appreciate, I've learned so much in this hour of show. So, Gwen, thank you very much. I'll get back
it's
to you about
pleasure.
The presentation. And say hello to your husband
okay.
there. Okay? Okay, everybody.
Just remember, I see you, I hear you. You matter to me.
Thank you. I appreciate you.
Thank you.
Okay, every Sunday morning, 8 to 9 o'clock a.m. here on 101.1 on the Oldies channel. You can also go to your Spectrum TV, 883, and listen to it on your TV. So, anyway, Generations808.com has all our information, all our past issues, and including this radio show. So, thank you very much. As always, everybody, have a great weekend. Aloha, and live well.
In 2021, take the confusion out of Medicare. The Copeland Insurance Group will help you understand the exciting new plans with increased benefits for seniors 65 and above, veterans, the disabled, and those that qualify for extra help. Contact Margaret Wong with the Copeland Insurance Group at 808-591-4877. 808-591-4877. Mahalo.
The combination of interest rates at near all-time lows and home values at near all-time highs create a great opportunity to get the most out of your home's built-up equity. Percy Ihara, Hawaii's reverse mortgage specialist at MLS number 582-944. If you are 60 or older, you might qualify for a reverse mortgage loan that could turn your equity into extra funds for retirement. Take a few minutes to visit with him about ways this plan could work for you. As a certified senior advisor and being certified in long-term care planning, he has helped many older homeowners just like you to retire more freely. Call him now at 808-234-3117. That's 808-234-3117. Not applicable in all states. Some states may impose a higher age requirement. Visit reversefunding.com/equity-elite for details. Reverse Mortgage Funding LLC is an equal housing lender. 1455 Broad Street, Bloomfield, New Jersey, 07003. NMLS number 1019941. Telephone 888-494-0882. For licensing information, go to nmlsconsumeraccess.org. Licensed Mortgage Banker, New York State Department of Financial Services. Again, call 808-234-3117.